This week on the Xbox 360 SoloCast, I talk about Orcs Must Die, Rage, and the Battlefield 3 beta. Hello everybody, thanks for tuning in to episode 4 of the Xbox 360 SoloCast. Today is Wednesday, October 5th, and I am recording on a Wednesday rather than a Tuesday because I really, really wanted to talk to you about some of the games, or one game in particular that had its embargo lift today. So, today is going to be a pretty long show, so we're going to go ahead and get right into the podcast, no playful banner. My gamer score update for you, this week I'm sitting at 82,689. I gained 830 points this week, and the reason I did was because I played four games, one of which is just an achievement pinata. I played the Nicktoons MLB, which is actually quite fun. Basically, what it is you play Major League Baseball. It's the 2K engine, you know, the regular sports engine, with a bunch of Nicktoons. I played, like, in my first two games, I think I had half of all of the achievements for a total of like 480 points. I put a couple of extra hours into it. I think I'm sitting on 780 total points right now for the game. But overall, it's actually pretty fun too. So you can check out my review. Just go to my blog and I'll have it linked there. I also have played 4 hours of Rage. Rage came out yesterday. It's the game that is developed by id, who you might remember is responsible for games like Doom, Wolfenstein. They've basically created the first-person shooter genre, and it's getting some pretty mediocre reviews. Like I said, I'm only 4 hours into it. From what I'm seeing, though, it's pretty decent. I mean, it's your typical shooter, you know, that id would create. It's absolutely gorgeous, but there are some things that I don't like about it. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. I played Orcs Must Die, and that's the game that I really, really want to talk to you guys about, which we'll discuss a little bit more down in the releases section. And I played some Battlefield 3 beta, which we're really going to get into a little bit later on, because I have some gripes with that. On the dashboard this week, the only thing that's really worthwhile is worth mentioning to you guys is the TV is more amazing with Xbox Live video. And what it is it's Major Nelson popping in and explaining that they've got over 40 television carriers, I guess, that have hopped on board with Xbox to bring the TV to your Xbox, which is good or it's bad. They mentioned Comcast, they mentioned Verizon Fios, and then they rattle off a bunch of channels. So you've got things like Sci-Fi, HBO Go, things like that. I'm left with more questions than answers at this point. I want to know, are you going to have to be a subscriber to one of those cable companies, or is there going to be a standalone option to buy these cable channels a la carte? If there is, that's amazing. I canceled cable over a year ago, almost 2 years ago now, because I've got Netflix and because I didn't want to pay for 280 channels and only watch five of them. If Microsoft moves in and says, if you're an Xbox Gold member and you pay an extra fee, you can choose to have HBO Go. If you pay an extra fee, you can have Sci-Fi. If you pay an extra fee, you can have this or that. I'm going to go through the roof because those are the channels that I'm interested in. Now, the issue I have right now is that my internet provider is Time Warner Cable, and the ESPN app on the Xbox, you can't use the live streaming if you have Time Warner Cable as your internet provider, unless you're subscribed to their cable service. So what they're doing is basically preventing you from accessing certain stuff because you're not paying for it through them, which is a bunch of bullshit. Okay, I used to work for Time Warner Cable. I didn't work there long, but I did door-to-door sales. And, you know, they teach you how to basically fill people full of shit to sell them the services. Okay, I appreciate my internet. It's arguably the best internet service we have in Maine out of two. Yeah, that's right. We have two options. We have a high-speed DSL or high-speed cable. Other than that, you're looking at installing a T1 in your house, which is expensive. So I'm a little pissed off that I don't have options. And, you know, I'm up in Maine, so they really, the cable companies don't want to spend a lot of money up here because it's just not profitable for them. I get that. I'm pissed about it, but I get it, okay? But what is going to happen with this TV? I mean, am I going to have to subscribe somewhere else? Am I going to have to, subscribe to something with Time Warner Cable, which isn't going to happen? Okay, first off, so if all these options come out and I have to subscribe, it's very low key for me, I guess. There's no excitement whatsoever because I'm not going to pay for cable anymore. I will pay for a la carte. You know, if they say for $9.99 a month, we're going to give you, 15 channels, I'll be all over that. So, Microsoft executives, I know you listen to the podcast, take notes. Okay. Next, what I want to discuss with you guys is, I'm doing an event on October 15th called Extra Life, and what this is, I may have discussed it prior podcasts or in some of my blog posts and reviews and things like that, but I'm going to play video games for 24 hours straight from 9 a.m. Eastern Saturday, October 15th, to 9 a.m. Eastern Sunday, October 16th. Now, that might seem really cool, and I'm pretty excited about it. I have issues, however, because, I'm 30 years old, guys. I don't pull all-nighters anymore. I've got a couple of kids. I'm in bed by 10:30, 11 at the latest. Even on weekends when the kids aren't here and they're staying at their grandparents' house, I'm in bed by 1 at the latest, and then I have to sleep until noon the next day, which doesn't happen, in order to feel fresh and rejuvenated. So I end up taking a nap the next day because I now can't sleep past 7:30. It's just a mess. I'm old. I get it, okay? But what I need you guys to do is, let me know what you want me to play. I'm going to do, a brief little video explaining each and every hour that's going to be posted to YouTube with an outline, a recording of the games that I played. So let me know what you want me to play. And further, I need sponsors, okay? This isn't just play video games for the sake of playing video games. This is to help some really sick kids, and I'm playing for the Barbara Bush Hospital in Portland, Maine. The reason I chose that hospital is my younger brother was sick. He almost died. They brought him back, and I've reached my goal. My goal was $200. I'm at $224, so I've amended my goal, and I'd like to hit $400. I've got 10 days left to do it as of the recording of this podcast, October 5th, and I really need you guys' help. I've tapped out my friends, my family, my co-workers, so I'm going to put it on you guys. And I'm not saying you have to pop in and donate $24, $50, or anything like that. Anything you want to donate, $3, $5, if you want to donate $1,000, I will give you a special shout out on the podcast. I don't expect anybody to donate a grand, okay? So I'm just putting that out there. But I'm going to go ahead and put the link in the show notes. Hopefully you guys can do me a solid, go there, donate a couple of dollars and help support some sick kids because, these kids, they don't have it like we do. They can't come home, sit down on the Xbox and play Rage. You know, they're sitting in a hospital. They're lucky if they're only now getting Guitar Hero 3, things like that. So this money is going to be used for a good cause and it's going to help a lot of sick kids find a little bit of joy in a time when their life is really shit. So do what you can there. Hopefully I'll see some of you guys donated. Okay. What I also want to talk about, I got an email from Anonymous asking why I swear so much on the podcast. And I know this isn't gaming related, but I do want to touch on it. And I'm going to share a little bit of an anecdote. First off, I use curse words not because they're unprofessional. Yes, they are unprofessional, and I realize that. But I use them to emphasize something I'm saying. And I used to swear like a sailor, swear like a pirate. It was really bad. I couldn't get it through a sentence without dropping an F-bomb. It's gotten a lot better now that I have kids, now that my son repeats a lot of the things that I say. But let me tell you a little story about my Nana. My Nana, she passed away about a year and a half ago. I remember I was, I would say, 6 or 7 years old. My Nana was the nicest woman in the world, okay? She never swore. She never raised her voice. I'll give you an example. I did something I wasn't supposed to do when I was out at her house one time. My punishment, and this is not a joke, I'm 100% serious, was that I wouldn't get sugar on my ice cream. That's right. That was my punishment. Okay, so that's, it gives you an idea of how nice this woman was. Now, my grandfather, while he was a very good grandfather by the time I came around, he was an older guy, he was a drunk growing up, basically. He got into a lot of trouble. He was not a very good guy, and my Nana tamed him. You know, there were times when they would get into heated arguments, and she would not raise her voice. Like I said, she never yelled, but she would just kind of let him rant, or if she would speak to him, she would say, and she called him Smithy, she would say, Smithy, and just look at him, and he knew that's when it was time to stop. The one time that I saw that he didn't know when it was time to stop, okay, he was complaining about the president at that time, and I was in the room, okay, and my Nana didn't like it when he complained about the president. He's the president of the United States. Regardless of his politics, you're supposed to support him. Well, he was going on and on and on, and she kind of looked at him and told him he needs to calm down, and he kept going for another 5 minutes. Out of nowhere, she slams the table and says, Smithy, God damn it! And the whole house went silent. There was probably 15 people. Everybody stopped, my grandfather included, and he looked at her for about a second and a half, grabbed his remote, and turned his TV back on, and that was that. That was the only time that I've heard her swear, because that was the only time she needed to swear. Everybody at that point understood she meant business. She emphasized her point with a curse word. That is why I use curse words. Now, if you catch me swearing for the sake of swearing, please, please call me out on it. I do my best not to do it. But When I drop an F-bomb or I say the word shit or something like that, that's because I'm really passionate about video games and I really, really want to get my point across. So I apologize if I offend you. This is an explicit podcast and it's labeled as such. And it's going to continue that way. So I hope I answered your email, Anonymous, and explain why I curse as much as I do. What we're going to talk about now is it's called a Selk bag, S-E-L-K, a Selk bag, and this is it's not a video game, surprisingly, and it's technically not a video game peripheral. What this is, it's a full body sleeping bag, and you might say, well, all sleeping bags are full body, not this sleeping bag, okay? This is an item similar to a slanket. I refuse to call it by that other name. The blankets with sleeves. Yes, a slanket is an actual product, and I support them. But it's a full-body sleeping bag. It's got arms, it's got legs, it's got a hood, and it's extremely warm. Okay, I first saw this item in Official Xbox Magazine. Okay, it was reviewed along the lines of, for you video gamers that like to sit around and be warm, try this out. So I emailed them and said, I'd really like to have a chance to review this item. Can you send me an extra large? They did. I got it last week. I've had a chance to sit around, especially right now with the weather in Maine. It's starting to get chilly. It's September, or I'm sorry, it's October. And it's the leaves are starting to change. It's really chilly. The air conditioners are out of the windows, and the heat is on, believe it or not. So what I thought was, If I can don this thing while I'm playing video games, I wonder what I can keep the heat at in order or for me to feel like I'm actually cold. So they sent me this thing, and it's certainly a sleeping bag. I mean, it's the same material like you would go camping with. I pulled the thing out. It comes rolled up in this, like a, it looks like a sleeping bag. It's a big circular bag. I haul it out. I climb into it, as I'm climbing into it, I'm realizing this thing is no joke, okay, people? So if you live in Florida, this probably isn't for you, okay? But for you gamers up here in the north, especially Canada, this is something you're going to want to pick up, guys, because as ridiculous as you look in it, and there's no getting around the fact that you are kind of going to look like a goober, This thing is legit. What I did was I turned the heat off. I actually took my pants off and I put just a plain white t-shirt on and climbed into this thing. Immediately I was hot, okay? Sat down, started playing. I got really, really warm. So what I did is I actually opened some windows. I think it was low 50s, maybe high 40s that day. And I was sweating the entire time. This thing is legit, okay? What you're going to notice, the first thing when you sit in this is it's really comfortable, okay? It's not machine washable, but it is water resistant, all right? And it's got little holes where you can pop your hands out so you can hold your controller, and it's just neat. It doesn't just have to be for video gaming. If you're the outdoorsy type, you like to go camping and things like that, bring this with you, because you're not going to find a warmer sleeping bag than this. I mean, I really want to thank Silkbag for sending me this for review. And I'm going to do a full write-up at Kmart that talks about the style, at Kmart Gamer, that talks about the style and that talks about, you know, the colors and the comfort and the warmth and all that stuff. I'm going to get more, you know, deeper into it. But I wanted to bring it to you guys' attention because it's really an item that is unique, but is also versatile. It's used for gamers that want to sit around that tend to be cold. So some of you girls, even I know you girls are cold all the time, stereotype. It's also used for you know, the logical uses of going out camping. It's something that I highly recommend. I'm going to give it you know, Smitty's seal of approval. I don't have one, so this is the first you're hearing of it. Go check out Silkbag. I believe their website is silkbagusa.com. It's really cool. So let's talk about weekly deals and releases. Releasing this week, first, we've got Air Conflicts, Secret Wars. It's done by Calypso. I'm kind of a Calypso fanboy. They do, Tropico, things like that. And that came out at $40, so it's kind of a budget title, but it's basically World War II piloting. You fly a plane, you kill people. It's got online multiplayer. I'm kind of eager to see how it plays. I may go out and rent it. Also coming out, Spider-Man Edge of Time. I haven't done a bit of research on this game. I knew it was coming out. I didn't think it was coming out this early. So if anybody's played Spider-Man Edge of Time, let me know how it is, okay? And I'll leave our email address or my email address at the end of this podcast so you can get in touch with me. NBA 2K12, the sequel to the largely popular NBA 2K11. EA is not putting out another basketball game this year, so the 2K franchise is really, really putting some roots out and grabbing some fans. I don't know if EA is going to be able to recover from something like this, honestly, folks. You might see the EA basketball franchise at its end. And what's an awesome point is I owned the last EA basketball game. I loved it. But apparently EA didn't love the rest of them. Also releasing Dark Souls. This is a spiritual successor to the PS3 Demon's Souls. And from what I understand, this game is hard, okay? This is a game where if you go into a battle and you're not on top of your game 100%, you're going to die, okay? So I haven't had a chance to play it. I think this is another one I'm going to rent, but I don't think I want to spend my money on it because I'm not into hardcore gaming like Dark Souls is. And I mean, Dark Souls at this point from my perspective might be the pinnacle of hardcore gaming, so check that out. And finally, for retail releases, Rage came out. That's right, I talked about it earlier in the show, and the issue I have with it, I discussed that I don't have a big hard drive, so I decided not to install Rage. Okay, I'm playing it off of disc one right now. I'm 4 hours in. And the story is cool. It's good. The visuals are fantastic. The problem is some of the textures take a while to load in. Sometimes audio cuts out for no apparent reason. The combat is really, really neat. I mean, the way that the characters move, it's not quite LA noir in terms of realism, but it certainly is realistic in its own sense, so I'm really excited to get more into Rage. And as of right now, 4 hours in, I'm recommending the game. It's really fun, so check that out. On Xbox Live Arcade, we had NBA Jam On Fire Edition. I was a pretty big NBA Jam fan back in the day. I ended up going to the New England tournament, the New England Finals, actually, and lost. So that was that there. But that's on Xbox Live for 1,200 points. Also releasing Space Channel 5, Sega Bass, and Sega Bass Fishing. Those are both 800 points. Sega Bass Fishing, I can kind of get behind, but I have the Rapala or Rapala, whatever it is, Rapala Pro Bass Fishing for the retail release that comes with the fishing reel, rod and reel itself, and that's where I go for my fishing needs. It's a really cool game, so check that out. Sega Bass Fishing for $10, maybe, but I'm pretty sure, are these Dreamcast remakes? Is that what these are? Finally releasing on Xbox Live. If so, yeah, I was a fan of the Dreamcast, but when I was in college, I'm not in college anymore. I'm looking forward, and the reason I say that is because games like Orcs Must Die are coming out. Orcs Must Die released today. I got a code for review last week, and I've been playing the ever-loving shit out of this game, guys, okay? Hear the swear word? Emphasis. This game is amazing. I gave my first perfect score to Orcs Must Die. Here's the premise. You play as the War Mage, and the War Mage is a pompous, arrogant prick who is intent on keeping the orcs from entering the rift. Basically, from what I've gathered, all the war mages are dead, and this war mage is the last hope. What he does is he kills orcs by laying traps, by shooting arrows, by slicing them with his sword, by using magic. It's an unbelievable game. As you progress, there are three difficulties. I don't even know where to start. There's so much to talk about. You've got your apprentice difficulty, War Mage, and Nightmare. Okay, on War Mage you can get up to 5 skulls. An apprentice you can only get up to 2, and Nightmare is just a harder difficulty with some achievements attached to it, I think. As you get skulls for each level up to 5. You use the skulls to upgrade certain traps. So a trap might require 12 skulls to upgrade. You use those skulls, they're gone. That's right, you don't get to go back and redo your upgrades, at least from what I've seen so far. And I'm not through the game yet, because this game is hard. Okay, I'm like 12 levels in, I think, maybe 15, and I'm stuck. I mean, I've had to play like the last 3 or 4 on apprentice mode, because shit gets real, and it gets real fast. Okay, soon you've got dozens of orcs on screen, you've got arrows flying, barrels exploding, you've got fireballs that you're casting, you're swinging your sword, you're jumping around, you're laying other traps, and all of this is taking place while the game is continuously staying or keeping up with everything that's happening. I'm not seeing any stutters, there's no lag, there's no screen tearing. I think this game, with a little bit more story and maybe a bit more customization, would be a full retail, and I would buy it day one. Okay, this is an amazing game, guys. Check it out. The deals for this week, there is a lot of board games that are up for sale. Catan, 400 points, that's half off. Magic the Gathering, Duels of the Planeswalkers, 2012, 400 points, that's half off. Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds, 400 points, 50% off. I have no idea what that is. Hasbro Family Game Night Battleship is 400 points, 50% off. So if you're into board games and games that you can go online and play, this is your week, guys. For 1,600 points, you can get all the board games that are available. And from looking at it, I mean, with the exception of Yu-Gi-Oh!, which I know nothing about, the rest are all completely worth it, so check those out. There's also a Bethesda publisher sale for things like Fallout New Vegas and Avatar items and things like that. I didn't look too much into it, but if you're a huge fan of Bethesda, and I know some of you are, go check that out. There are two demos on the marketplace that we really need to talk about. Forza 4, which I haven't downloaded, but from what I'm seeing, this is one of the best-looking racing games that is available on the Xbox 360, period. I say that because I think Gran Turismo 5 on PS3 was pretty hot, but for Xbox 360, Forza 4 is the way to go. I mean, there are still people that play Forza 3 hardcore, all right? There's still a community, so when 4 releases, don't be surprised to see that sell really well. Also, the Battlefield 3 beta. Now, let's slow down and talk about this a little bit. The Battlefield 3 beta sucks. period. Okay, now, I want to explain, I had fun playing it, okay, but I didn't have fun in the beta, all right? Meaning, I took my Call of Duty style, and immediately, for an hour and a half or 2 hours, I was getting plastered. I was ready to absolutely destroy this game on the podcast in my little, first glimpse videos and things like that. And then I realized it's not the game that sucks, it's me. And I changed my style. Slow down, don't camp. But you don't go rushing every single objective every single time. You slow down, wait for people to come to you rather than for you to come to them. Don't follow people, especially when they know where you are. Learn to read the map, learn to use your equipment, things like that, and you'll be a good Battlefield 3 player. I was really impressed with how that worked, okay? However, the execution of this beta is horrendous. It's shit, it's terrible. Now, I know some of you are sitting there saying, but Smitty, it's a beta. That doesn't matter. Okay, I know it's not a demo, I know it's a beta, that doesn't matter. Because it's a beta, doesn't remove it from criticism, okay? There's still issues, especially the game comes out October 25th, okay? So we're, what, 3 or 4 weeks away from this game releasing, and we're seeing issues like falling through the map and getting stuck. We're seeing issues like, as soon as you spawn, you're dead because you're spawning on your teammate who's dead. Okay, we're seeing issues where if you're moving, you're going to take more damage than if you're sitting still. Really, these are the issues that haven't been fleshed out yet. There wasn't an alpha where they said, you know what, every time we play this level, we fall through the ground. Maybe we should fix that before we release it for more beta testing. Because beta testing, especially on Xbox Live and on PC, I don't know as much about PS3, is usually used to find some of the more difficult to spot glitches and to test the servers to see the stability and things like that. All of which is a complete fuck field of crap that nobody can get through, okay? I played one night hardcore of Battlefield 3 beta. I couldn't get through it. After that, I was done with it. It's deleted off my hard drive. I'm finished, okay? I'm not buying the game. I might get the game for review. I don't know. If I don't, I'm not purchasing this game. The beta has completely turned me off. And I don't doubt that they're eventually going to get it right, but I'm not willing to sit around and wait for that to happen. I want my games to work when I get them. That's why I quit playing Homefront a week after it was released. All right. So, off my soapbox. Let's talk about some games on demand. First, Shift 2 Unleashed came to games on demand. $40. There's a lot of racing games that are getting released on Games on Demand right now, so you might want to wait until you see some of these prices drop, or until you see a game that releases that you're a big fan of, okay, because it's probably going to come. Darkest of Days, and this is a Civil War reenactment game, but you're a time traveler and you use current day weapons. The premise is awesome. It's $20. It was a budget title when it released, and from what I understand, it's actually pretty easy with the achievements. So if you're an achievement hound, kind of like I am, I say that because I'm not really. I always go for the achievements, but I'm not hardcore like some of you fools out there. Then go pick up Darkest of Days. Finally, Crysis released on Games on Demand. I talked about Crysis 2 last week. Crysis is now here. It's $20. Check that out if you're a fan of the series. Let's talk about some news, shall we? Okay, FIFA 12. I told you FIFA 12 is going to be the greatest soccer game ever released. It sold 3.2 million copies in its first week. 3.2 million. That's the biggest launch in the history of sports games. Good for you, FIFA. Good for you, soccer fans, going out and showing the Madden fans, of which I am one, that you have a community and you're going to support it. So, fantastic. Congratulations to EA. It's EA Canada, I think, actually made it as well. So that's really cool. Also, Portal 2 DLC is now out. It's free. I haven't played Portal 2 DLC. That's free, though. That's right up my alley of what I can afford. I might either go rent it. I might pick it up on sale somewhere. But check out the new Portal 2 DLC. The Skyrim achievements were released. And this lends some I guess foreshadowing to the actual story, and it gives some predictions that players might have some choices they have to make during the game. So I'm anxious to see that. I'm not going to talk about the achievements. If you want to talk, or if you want to know what you're going to find, go online and find them. I'm worried about giving spoilers for people. I'm not a guy that's worried about spoilers. I'll talk about anything even if I haven't played it. But I know some people are pretty. Pretty hardcore against it, all right? Also, there was an Xbox Live outage, and it was for a few hours. People couldn't connect to Live, and Xbox stepped out and said it was due to a human error, and it's not going to happen again. Now, I don't want to cause any problems here. I reached out to Xbox, to Steptoe in particular, and asked, was there a security breach? The reason I ask is I have a couple of friends who had their accounts accessed, including their credit cards, and things were charged to their cards for Microsoft. There was 4,000 points and 1,600 points. So you're talking about $60 worth of content, worth of Microsoft points charged to his account. He obviously changed all his passwords, called Xbox. The Xbox rep he was talking to slipped up and said, yes, I've been dealing with calls like this all day. So he threw up a flag, and he contacted me and said, what do you know? So I reached out. I didn't get a response. I was hoping I was going to get a reply, at least saying, no, it's not true. He was probably just a victim of phishing, which happens. But there was nothing, which that worries me, especially considering the conversation we had last week where Microsoft did some shady things. They fixed it and, corrected the issue, especially to the people involved. But I'm a little concerned as to, what may have actually happened with this Xbox Live outage. Dungeon Defenders is releasing on October 19th. If you don't know what Dungeon Defenders is, I hate you. No, I'm kidding. Dungeon Defenders is a four-player co-op game. It's similar to Orcs Must Die. You play, it's kind of third-person, sometimes top-down, where it's a tower defense, but you play as one of four unique characters. There's a monk, a wizard, a fighter, and a cleric, maybe? I can't remember off the top of my head. I apologize. It's coming out on October 19th, and I've been watching this game now for over a year. I'm really, really excited to see what's going to happen, because it's a loot hunt, it's a tower defense, and it's a co-op game. It combines three of my favorite genres into one game, and it's very exciting. I think I'm going to get a review code. I don't know when the embargo will be up, probably October 19th, which means in 2 weeks I may be recording on a Wednesday again, because I'm going to want to tell you guys about this game. All right. Alan Wake 2. Rumors. There are rumors that Alan Wake 2 is being developed for the next Xbox. There are sources that are saying, yes, it's happening. There are some that are saying no comment, as expected. I haven't played Alan Wake 1. I'm going to. I really want to, get the 1,000 achievement points. I have a friend who got it, so that's going to drive me to play the game on all difficulties and get all the collectibles and all that crap. But I'm really excited to see if there's going to be an Alan Wake 2, and is it going to be for the next Xbox? I have one more story to talk about. But Team Bondi is closing. Team Bondi is the developer that created LA Noire. Now you might be saying, well, that's Rockstar. No, Rockstar bought this technology from Bondi. Okay, they use 32 HD cameras to read facial expressions and things like that. And they bought that. They released LA Noire to some hype that turned out to be mediocre. I'm into the game, but it's not what I expected. So it's neat, not great. But they're closing. They filed some paperwork with the Australia, I think it's the SEC or SIEC or something, saying that they're no longer going to be doing what they do. So it's always sad to see a studio close, especially one as talented as these guys. But L.A. Noire pretty much sapped all of the employees down there of their will, of their patience, and that's too bad. But Team Bandai, if you're listening, I really, really appreciate your work, and hopefully all you guys catch on somewhere and can release some new stuff. So now, finally, in the trailer for, what is it, Real Steel? Real Steel, the one with Hugh Jackman. It's basically Rock'em Sock'em Robots. There's a trailer on YouTube. At 46 seconds, you can see a what it appears to be an arena, and it's got all these sponsorships running around, you know, the back. It's got Coca-Cola, Capital One, Cadillac, Budweiser, and then there's an image for Xbox 720. So I have expectations that, or high hopes that this is, an announcement that's going to be coming. I have a feeling there's a funny guy at Microsoft who's trolling that's getting a laugh out of everybody freaking out about this. I hope it's not that. If it is, that's hilarious. I think that's great. But I really, really want to hear about the Xbox 720. I think it's time, and I'm anxious to see, what's going on there and what we can expect in the system. All right. So, indie game of the week. I told you guys last week I was going to talk about Solar. Ooh, excuse me. I was going to talk about Solar 2. Solar 2 is a space game. And what you do, you start off as a little asteroid. You have a certain land mass. You drive yourself into other asteroids to gain mass. When you get to a certain mass level, you become a planet. As you, at that point, instead of ramming into things, because then you start losing mass, you're a planet, you don't want to lose mass, you start getting near asteroids so they go into orbit around you. With a button press, you can absorb those asteroids and grow your planet. Eventually, your planet gets big enough to where it will develop intelligent life. This intelligent life will create space stations, and little ships will fly around your planet, and anything that gets near it, it will fire on and destroy, okay? After you keep gathering asteroids, eventually you get big enough to where you're a star. At this point, you start getting close enough to planets. Planets will start orbiting you, okay? And with those planets, asteroids can orbit them. So what you can do is you can eventually create this giant solar system where you're a sun. All these planets are around you. Some of them have life. Some of them don't. Some of them have little asteroids, which at that point are moons rotating around them. Some of them don't. And you can absorb all these planets. Eventually, you become a black hole, and you just want to swallow everything because there are other things in the universe. You might run into a planet that has intelligent life, and their little spaceships come out at you. Okay, you might find a solar system that has three or four planets with intelligent life that all send things out at you to battle you. Okay, and your job is to become this massive black hole, swallow up everything, including other black holes, but stay away from bigger black holes because they can swallow you. And eventually, there is the Big Bang, and you start over again as a little asteroid. Okay, what's cool about it is that there are little mini objectives. There's some neat music. Flying through the universe is really cool. It's just a fun escape from the typical hack and slash first person shooters, platform games, things like that. And it's its own unique game. You can save a solar system at any point and load that solar system. So if you save it as a large sun with five planets, and then you become your black hole, you can go back and load that same solar system, all right? It's just a really unique experience. Go look for it on the Xbox Live Indie Game Marketplace, Solar 2. It's fan-fucking-tastic. See? Swear words. Emphasis. Really fun game. That's a game that got close to a perfect review for me, and that's why I'm so jazzed about it. Now, let's hop on the hype train. Batman Arkham City. That's right. I'm going to do my best to keep my hysteria under wraps because I need to describe this game to you. Rocksteady is the developer, Warner Brothers Games is the publisher, and you'll understand that this is the successor, the sequel to Batman Arkham Asylum. What Arkham City is basically the warden of Arkham Asylum, and I apologize, I don't know the canon of Batman, okay? I don't know a lot of the bad guys. I don't know a lot of the backstory with some of these people, okay? I don't know a lot of the names. I know Commissioner Gordon, Batman, Robin, Nightwing, Catwoman, you know, your basics. But in terms of being a hardcore Batman fan, I'm not. I wish I was. I just don't have the time. So, that being said, the warden of Batman Arkham Asylum, or I'm sorry, of Arkham Asylum, took credit for everything that happened at Arkham Asylum with the Joker being defeated and things like that. He used that popularity to become mayor of Gotham City. So what he did is, now that Arkham Asylum is not in any shape to be used, he sections off a part of the city, builds these giant walls, puts guards patrolling on the walls, and throws all of these inmates into Arkham City. Okay, so it's their own section. And he says, you're free to do whatever you guys want to do, but don't try to escape. Okay, now, obviously, Batman has a problem with this. He knows something's going to go wrong, so he's watching to make sure nothing happens. Well, what happens is Two-Face, in order to make a name for himself inside Arkham City, decides he wants to execute Catwoman. Now, Batman and Catwoman have a bit of a relationship. They've got this kind of flirtatiousness about them. You know, they're into each other. But she's bad, he's good, so, you know, it can never happen. Kind of a Romeo and Juliet type thing. So what he does, Batman, is he goes to save Catwoman, and from there, obviously, you've got this entire sprawling city with all these different supervillains that are inside that Batman needs to take care of. You've got Two-Face, Dr. Hugo Strange, who knows Batman's real identity, so it adds a bit of tension to every encounter you have with Hugo Strange, because you know, Batman always has that anonymity, that it's a powerful tool. When you take that away, suddenly a bad guy who sees him as Batman now sees him as Bruce Wayne. So he can't let that secret get out, okay? Doctor Strange is obviously holding it over his head, okay? You've also got Catwoman. You've got, I think maybe Poison Ivy is in there. I'm not entirely sure. But I do know that Harley Quinn is in it, and they kind of remodeled, her actual in-game model. So the game looks amazing. There are all these new scenarios. First off, when you start the game, you're going to start with all of the gadgets that you had in Batman Arkham Asylum at the end. There are a couple of exceptions, but generally, you still have the, you know, your wings, you can glide, you've got your grappling hook, your remote-controlled Batarang. There's still going to be detective mode. It's a little bit changed, okay, because Rocksteady doesn't want people playing in detective mode all the time. It's a neat mode. It's for solving crimes. It's not for playing the game. So I'm really anxious to see how they change it. And further, there are going to be different playable characters. As you remember, on the PS3 version, you could play as the Joker. On the Xbox version, there was really nothing else. You had your challenge rooms and things like that. That was it. This time, however, you'll be able to play as Catwoman when you get to a rooftop and you see, like, I guess, like a Maltese cat on a building somewhere. You can switch to Catwoman, and she has a different fight style. You know, she uses claws, a whip. She's got a cat burglar sense rather than detective mode, which is a little bit different than Batman's detective mode, but still works in the same way. But she's a cat burglar, so she's going to look for things to steal and for gadgets to use, and she's going to have her own. It's almost like the game is split into two, Catwoman and Batman. But wait. There are now rumors that Nightwing is going to be playable. Now, if you don't know who Nightwing is a less gay version of Robin. Robin grew up and became Nightwing. I'm allowed to say less gay version, okay? I have a gay uncle. He checked with the gay community, and they said it was cool for me to describe things that are a little weird as gay. So, back off. Alright, so, the less gay Robin, aka Nightwing, is a possible player character. There have been some DLC achievements that have leaked out that indicate that you may actually you may be playing as Nightwing, and I don't know if it's just for challenge modes, if you're actually going to have a section of the city where you can play as Nightwing. What I do know about the canon of Batman is Batman and Ra's al Ghul, who trained Batman basically to be an assassin, Ra's al Ghul had a daughter, and I can't remember her name, but her last name is Al Ghul, obviously. Batman falls in love with her, and they get freaky, and she gets pregnant. She sends the boy off, so he goes for assassin training like Batman did, comes back, and when she dies, for some reason, I don't know why, or she leaves or something, Batman takes this kid under his wing. Oh, wow, that was a really bad pun. I didn't mean to do that. And makes him his prodigy, and that's where Nightwing comes in some stories. From what I understand, I might be wrong, okay? I hope that's the storyline they do for this, because playing as Batman's son, you know, he doesn't want him going into Arkham City because it's dangerous, but Batman knows he needs the help because the city is huge, and it's filled with villains, okay? The villains all have henchmen. So in one section of the city, it might be owned by Penguin and his men. Another section of the city might be owned by Joker and his men. Another section of the city could be an area where Bane is roaming. And I believe he's back in this one as well. It's just this sprawling game. You're going to be able to glide across the city. You'll be able to catch air, almost like, you know, Mario from, what is it, Super Mario Brothers on the SNES, where, you know, have the cape, you swoop down, or like Ezio in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood with Da Vinci's flying machine. I'm just really excited. All the trailers that show gameplay show that it's absolutely stunning. From the people that I know that have played it, they're hyped to the max on this game, and that's why I wanted to bring it onto the podcast for the hype train, because the game comes out October 18th. That's right, 2 weeks from yesterday, this game is going to be out. So at that point, you're going to have people that are Batmaning the hell out of their Xbox. I'm going to be one of them. All right. So no hot topic for you guys this week, because the podcast has been so long. Generally, I want to keep it under a half hour. There was so much to talk about that I couldn't help but going, you know, the full 45 minutes. Subscribe to the podcast. Rate it on iTunes. That will help us be, you know, gather a following. When I say us, I mean me and you. And the more following we have, the more stuff I'm going to get from developers to give to you guys. And that's why I'm here, is I want to make you guys happy. I want to give you stuff. I want you to experience all the same stuff that I'm experiencing. And by going and simply subscribing and rating the podcast, rate it what you want. I'm not asking for a 5. If you think I'm crap, tell me I'm crap, because I'll change. I want to provide something that's entertaining for all of you. Also, don't forget Extra Life. I'll have the link in the description. Go there, check it out. Make a donation if you can. The kids are really going to need it. But that's going to wrap it up for episode, for the Xbox 360 SoloCast. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Take care.